We got some questions.
Yes, we got questions. One is from about the Shrivati Chintamani, I just to remind myself what I posted here. About the cultivation of the activities of devotion. You wrote in the book, a devotee performs both pravritti and nivritti with the body, words, and mind. Such cultivation is said to increase in difficulty. As it progressively increases in subtlety from bodily to mental activities. And my question is, difficulty you are mentioning? What type of difficulty can help increase?
I don't know. It's difficult when people just quote a sentence, and it's easier when they frame the sentence in the context that it's written in, because then I can better understand it. So this way it's just a sentence. I don't know what it's related to. But of course the difficulty is that it's much more difficult to control the mind than it is to control the senses. It's very easy to engage your senses in devotional service. You just have to move your body in the right direction. But it's not so easy to control, to engage the mind in devotional service. And as I said earlier, it's not so easy to engage the intelligence in devotional service. Often we try to engage the mind without even engaging the intelligence. But the best way to do it is by engaging the intelligence by... That's why we need to hear and training, and then by proper training, one can then engage both the mind and the senses.
Yeah, that's I understand, but because the topic is discussed here, how we cultivate the activities of devotion, and they increase that we have difficulty. That means we have to constantly have difficulty to have this cultivation to increase quickly?
That we have to have difficulty?
No. That's what came in my mind. Because
no, I don't understand. I don't know the context. All I can just say is that it's more difficult to enjoy, to engage the mind. But it isn't that you have to have difficulty. But as you progress further, the subject matter becomes more intense, so in that sense it may become more difficult. The whole process of engaging in devotion then becomes a purification of the heart, and you go into deeper and deeper levels and more extensive levels of purification, at least when it comes to purification, and that brings out other types of challenges that aren't so visible on the surface.
Another question is about preaching. From a very advanced preaching devotee, give me advice when we speak to people. Even when we give some advice to devotees, when we preach to devotees, we should not have this motivation to try to change them. And I understand this is to be detached from the result, but at the same time I can change this inner desire that I want to see some changes. And how to...
Yeah, you have to... Preaching means you have to be detached from the result. You can tell the... tell someone what to do, but ultimately it's up to them, and you can't force them. So you give advice, you do the best of your ability, but unless they want to change, they're not going to change. And that's what it means to be a parent, that's what it means to be a guru, that's what it means to be anything. No one can force anyone to do anything, even Krishna, although he could force, but he doesn't. So everyone has to, he speaks Bhagavad Gita and then just says, do whatever you want to do. up to you. So you can't. If one becomes too absorbed in other people's suffering, then one also becomes miserable. And that's why you have to be somewhat insulated from that.
What can give us power to insulate ourselves?
Huh?
What can give us this power to be able to do it?
Yeah, that's detachment. Knowledge gives detachment. When you study, when you read, the knowledge gives detachment. And Prahlad Maharaj preached to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill him. So sometimes, and then the Shingadev killed Prahlad, his father, and Prahlad Maharaj was detached. So detachment comes from knowledge. And if we're properly situated in transcendental knowledge, then we'll be able to give it. That's what Brahman means. He gives knowledge, and then people take it or not. Kshatriya, then there's the laws of the land, and if people don't follow the laws of the land, then he punishes them, but he still can't change them inside. That's up to them to change. All he can do is confine their bodies. All he can do is change their behavior, but he can't change their mentality. The people have to be willing to do that themselves. So sometimes Prabhupada would say, I tell the devotees this, and they don't do it. What can I do? So what can you do? You can't do anything.
And the third question is about the power of reciting or saying prayers. Is it any difference if we recite them in their original form, like usually use Sanskrit or Bengali verses, prayers from the acharyas, or we use the translation that is more conducive for us?
No, well, once again, it's sort of one and different. So it's a prayer is the feeling and the message, and the message and feeling don't depend on language. On the other hand, if one does know the Sanskrit, then the language has, in one sense, so much more, unlocks more of the feeling, or unlocks more of the understanding of the message as well. But for Krishna, it's the same. It's the sincerity that's important. So no, there's no difference. Otherwise, what about prayers? What about all the Prabhupada's books? I mean, unless we're reading Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit, we're not getting the same benefit as if we're reading the translation.
Yeah, it's not really.
Huh?
Every word is powerful. I feel like this.
Yeah. So there's no difference between the translation, but still, as far as the language, as far as being able to express both message and feeling, Sanskrit is much better than any translated language. But that's a relative consideration.
You said that the language is able to unlock
these
feelings and this sincerity?
No, language doesn't. Well, if it does. It has a certain potency. It's not the language. It's the language spoken with devotion. It's the devotion that does. But the feelings of devotion are better expressed by Sanskrit, because Sanskrit is a perfect language. It has correspondent words and so on for all kinds of emotions, which you don't have in other languages. So you've got one word, love, and in Sanskrit you have 8 different types of love. And they say they mean different things, so then it's hard to communicate. You're not communicating that, but where you're feeling that and you're thinking that, then the message comes across to Krishna, because Krishna is not dependent on language to understand what it is that you want to say.
Yeah, I understand. This is more colorful.
It's more efficient, it's more colorful, it's, yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Hare Krishna.